Hi, everyone. This is Eric Martin, the lead singer for the band Mr. Big, and you are on the road to rock with Clint Switzer.
Thank you so much, man. I love talking about the things that I love, Clint, and for you to allow me to do it with you. God bless you. God bless the Heartland. God bless America.
You are now on the road to rock. It's not just a podcast. It's an unabashed celebration of rock's living legends. And now, please welcome your host, the master of your rock and roll road trip, leading you down the highway to hell, Clint Switzer.
Welcome to yet another edition of On the Road to Rock. I'm your host, Clint Switzer. And guys, I don't know what it is, but once you kind of get into that mid-March zone that we're in right now, I feel like spring's here. You know, I know it's not officially spring till March 21st or 22nd or whatever, but we got daylight savings time coming up here on Saturday night into Sunday morning. The days are getting longer. The sun's going to be out longer, and we are heading into those very viable spring and summer months, which you know is how we thrive. What it's all about for me, especially after 2 years of limited concert attendance, limited traveling, I think that this summer I'm just going to make up for all of it, and I'm going to double up and make up for some lost time for sure. So the concert calendar is kind of starting to fill up. I think that there's still some hesitancy for people because the economy is really struggling right now. Gas prices are high. It's going to be hard for bands to kind of do some of the things that they do, especially when it comes to the logistics of traveling and trying to do it, you know, in vans and buses and things like that. A lot of bands, you know, that are kind of more upper level bands will do fly-in gigs and on weekends, but bands are trying to figure this out. And I think people, patrons, are trying to figure this out as well. So it's going to be interesting to see what the, you know, what kind of concert attendance looks like this summer. I know I've got a few big ones kind of planned and some sprinkled in here and there, but very excited about it. Excited to be into these nicer weather months, certainly. And on the road to rock, you know, I named this podcast that because I'm on the road constantly traveling. It's a big part of my life, especially in the spring and summer months, always off going to concerts, covering shows, interviewing bands on the road. That's kind of what this show is about, On the Road to Rock, and I'm very proud of that. So hopefully we get back to more of that this summer, certainly as things kind of ease back in. I know there's a lot in the world now that is not in any way normal, regardless of what it is. COVID, of course, occurred, and things going on in Europe, certainly, but we're going to make the best of it. That's what we do. That's what, you know, we Americans, you know, we're resilient and we appreciate our freedoms. You know, we love having a good time. We love concerts. And that's those of you that listen to this show. Absolutely. We got some big shows on the docket. Just became known that I believe it's going to be Skid Row, Warrant, Quiet Riot, Winger on a couple of the dates are going out on tour together. Going to be hitting that up here in Lamp, Missouri, which is south of Branson. That's June 18th. So a lot of stuff coming up. Going to be hitting the Motley Crue Stadium Tour, Poison and Def Leppard, Joan Jett. That's going to be going down in August. Going to be going to LA for that. So there's some things coming up for sure. It's very exciting. And what's also very exciting is our guest this week, which is none other than legendary former Riot, current Riot Act guitarist, Rick Ventura. Riot Act are getting ready to release their new album, which is called Closer to the Flame. It comes out April 1st through Napalm Records. Of course, Rick was a part of four albums with Riot. And Riot's one of those bands, I don't know how to really compare them to anybody. Maybe like a Rose Tattoo or a Choir Boys, a band that has a huge dedicated fan base. But yet there's certain people that just have no idea they exist. I mean, Riot's been around since the mid to late 70s. I think the first album that Rick did with them was called Narita. I think he did Fire Down Under, Restless Breed, and Born in America. Those are the four albums I think Rick did. And now he has come out to form this band, Riot Act, with some tremendous members, Paul Ranieri, Claudio Galinsky, and Don Chafin on vocals. Riot Act, guys, if you haven't been able to check them out, just absolutely tremendous. And I'm excited to see what the rest of this album is going to sound like. You may have heard the single, the current video, which is Stand or Fall, and also Wanted. Those are kind of the two videos that are out there right now. And really high hopes for this album and for Rick. Can't wait to get into all this and much more with him. They really kind of started forming this around 2019, so it'll be interesting to see if it's kind of like a lot of this has kind of been COVID related, why it's taken kind of this long, and now they're going to be actually doing some dates, I believe, with even Lillian Axe, a band I'm a huge fan of. They're going to be doing some dates with Lillian Axe and Kim Melville in the UK, the UK Assault 2022. It's going to be in August, so if you want to check out what they're doing, get information on the new album, go to riotactband.com. So without further ado, I've already spent enough time talking about God knows what. That's not what this show's about. It's about the guests. It's about the artists. And we're going to go right now to the interview I did this week, which is none other than Rick Ventura, guitarist from Riot Act. Welcome to On the Road to Rock and famed former Riot, current Riot Act guitarist Rick Ventura is joining us. Rick, welcome to the show. How's everything been going? It's a busy time for you, and that's definitely a good thing in 2022, my friend.
Oh, yeah. Since the past few years, basically ground to a halt.
Right.
So we've been busy recording new material, so we're excited.
Yeah, that's kind of what I want to ask you about, because 2019, the Riot Act kind of was formed. Was it kind of a combination of trying to get your ducks in a row? COVID happens. What was kind of the process as far as getting this new music together and kind of getting this project to where you wanted it to be?
Well, you know, everything was going really, really great in 2019. You know, the band had just formed. Lou Kavaris and I got together and we decided, hey, you know, let's give this a shot, you know? So we recruited two of my bandmates, Claudio and Paul, Claudio on drums, Paul Ranieri on bass, and through a mutual friend of Lou, we got Don Chaffin on vocals, and it just, you know, came together. And then this crazy virus hit and things went downhill, you know, it just came to a halt.
Yeah.
And unfortunately we lost Lou 2 years ago, you know, so it was really a struggle. It was devastating to the band. We had just been inducted a year or so earlier into the Heavy Metal Hall of Fame. We had played there the following year. I guess it was 2020 when we played there in January. The only time we ever played live, you know? So,
right.
And then, you know, we spent many months after Lou's passing deciding, you know, what are we going to do, you know? It was almost like, I viewed it as like the dreaded Riot curse, because we've always had such crazy bad luck, you know.
I know.
Losing members, and it was so tragic, you know. But you know, after a number of months, you know, we said, hey, you know, we all want to play, you know. We wanted to play. There was music that had to get out there, and that was the whole concept of getting the band together. So we forged ahead, you know, a number of songs written and ready to record. And we just, we all wanted to do it, and Lou would have wanted us to do it. And Closer to the Flame is the result of that.
Closer to the Flame, indeed. It comes out April 1st. And do you kind of view this as a sort of a triumphant moment for the band, and at the same time, kind of paying tribute to Lou, what he did, what you guys kind of did together, and that this is all kind of coming together finally, not only an album coming out, but some tour dates on the books. We'll get into that, but this is kind of a culmination for you guys, and it also pays tribute to Lou.
Yeah. It's all that, you know. It finally, you know, it all came to fruition finally after 2 years of hell, basically, you know? So, yeah, it's an exciting moment. We've done two videos, did a video for the song Wanted, and we just released Stand or Fall about 2 weeks ago.
Yep.
And we'll be working on another one, actually. So by the time the album's released, there'll be a, a new video out there. So, you know, the ball's rolling, and we're really thrilled. I think it's a strong album, and I think a lot of the Riot fans will like it, and new fans will like it. Anyone that likes, you know, good, hard driving rock is going to like it.
That's how I was going to describe it, just checking out the video for Stand or Fall, which just came out, like you said, a couple of weeks ago. Great, hard-driving, melodic rock and roll, which I think, sadly, I mean, that seems so simple, but I think it's missing in a lot of today's American, you know, music lexicon. But the videos are important. And let me tell you, almost 25,000 views for Stand or Fall, which is awesome. There's 30,000 on for Wanted. I mean, these are big deals, and these look like very good productions. How important are the videos in today's climate? I feel like people find things so, you know, digitally, and you're finding stuff on Spotify. YouTube's such a great tool, and I think this has got to be a really help for you guys to have these two videos, and now a third one coming out there for people to check out.
Yeah, and this is the I mean, it has been the wave of the future, and it's just the ways to get music out there, you know, so you could reach anybody, you know, from a major city to someone living in a hut somewhere on a deserted island, you know.
Sure.
So it's like, you know, we'll pick up some bands, you know, some South Pacific island somewhere, anywhere, you know. So it's real important, you know. That's why we're just gonna bombard it and just do a full out media blitz with this release, you know, just get everybody to know about the album and the band and the music too, you know, because the music, I think it's about time that this music, you know, gets its due. You know, it's just been too long. I don't hear this kind of stuff out there. There are a lot of new bands out there doing it. To name a few, just for the hell of it, Rival Sons. Yep. Dirty Honey, you know, this.
Yeah, they're great.
Struts, you know, there's a lot of cool rock bands out there now, you know, so hopefully it's a resurgence of it, you know.
Absolutely agree. I want to ask you about vocalists. You talked about Don Chafin. He is tremendous. He's been out there a long time. He's done a lot of things. Kind of how did you find him? And you talk about someone that, as you know, as I'm checking out the album and kind of, you know, getting an early copy of it, his voice, I don't know that you could find a voice that's more perfectly suited for your guys' style of playing, for your style of playing, for kind of the bass and drum sound that you guys have. Don, man, you guys really hit it out of the park with him. I mean, he's tremendous.
Yeah, we're very lucky. A friend of Lou's turned us on to him. And when we first heard him, we were like blown away. I mean, I was blown away. He was doing, we gave him, I think, 3 Riot songs to do. And when we rehearsed, it was just like, whoa, I felt like I was back, you know, in Fire Down Under period, because he really put the songs across, and just the power of his voice, the tone, and he has a great range, and it's just perfect for my writing style, actually. So it's like a match made in heaven. So it's kind of unbelievable, really.
It is, and it's most fortuitous for you guys. I'm really digging it. And what's cool too that I see out of this is, you know, if you pre-order the album, you know, as of now, it's available for pre-order on napalmrecords.com. You can get it and pre-order it. And just looking at the setup here, this is not just an album of original material, which it is, 10 songs. It looks great. But also you have a second disc of classic Riot songs that you guys have re-recorded. What was kind of the genesis for wanting to do that? Because that part of it, I think, adds it because fans, to be able to sort of hear this new iteration, play these songs. I mean, it's awesome stuff. What was kind of the genesis for wanting to do that and add to this project a little bit?
Yeah, well, when Lou and I first got together, the concept was to do, you know, play a lot of the old tunes, because Lou and I never played together, you know. I came into the band and I'm doing a second album, and he was gone, and we remained friends, but we never played together. So when we finally got together to do this, you know, we started playing those songs, and they're such fun songs to play, you know. They're such a blast to play, and we decided we did an EP. We did six songs, and it was available on our website. And just to show that the band, you know, we did it for, you know, we were trying to get a deal at the time, a record deal at the time, just show promoters that, hey, you know, these guys really can play and they can really pull the stuff off, you know. So that's how it started. And, you know, and the whole original thing was, you know, right behind it. So we just wound up doing, the record company asked us to do, hey, throw some more songs on there, some more Riot songs. So we did 12 tunes, Lou's on there. So you get to hear his last performance with us. There's 12 tunes. So I think fans get a kick out of it, you know, because it's kind of cool to hear him again. And Don does just justice. Everybody does justice to him.
Oh, it's great. It's great stuff. And I tell you, Riot is one of those bands that it is really hard to kind of capture and compare what Riot is, because it's, I always say this about bands like Riot or the Choir Boys or Rose Tattoo or Zebra. It's almost like they're either your favorite band or you don't quite know who they are. What is it about Riot that sort of creates this like absolutely devoted cult following and yet like, kind of exist on the peripheral to some, you know, more casual rock fans that you're into Bon Jovi and Poison and things.
Yeah, well, it was always cool. Like, you know, when I was growing up and my friends and I would turn each other onto bands, you know, the underground bands, you know, these cool bands that nobody knew about, you know. So that was always the cool thing, you know, to find a cool band and then turn each other on to them. And we were always that band, you know, we were always the underground band. And we came up in an era where the music, that type of music really wasn't in vogue at that time, you know. It was the very late 70s, you know, very early, like 77, 78, 79. And so it was really the disco scene back there in New York. It's like, people would say, wow, what are you guys playing? You know, it's like, we were playing, you know, the Deep Purple, Montrose stuff when we were first starting out, all kinds of, you know, just hard drive rock and roll and all originals. Right, was, you know, even before I was in the band, you know, it was all original. And it was just devoted to that genre of music, you know. That was just in our blood, you know.
No question about it. What I mean, just going back to your time there, four studio albums, two live albums, including the legendary Five Down Under, touring the world with you know, bands like AC/DC, Black Sabbath, Rush. I mean, what was that time like in your life when you joined this band that's already established, but they hadn't really crept above kind of the you know, the mainstream, if you will, but on those tours, those albums, that's kind of where Riot made it, you know.
We made quite an impression. I mean, I don't think we ever, I think opening for some of these big bands, I mean, obviously, you know, they had their big following and stuff, but some of them might've been a little bit nervous because we won the audience over every time we played. We never failed to win the audience over. And so there was just something about the energy of the band. That's what it was about, the energy of the band. You know, when we came on stage, it was just so intense, just intense energy. And that's where we are now, you know.
It's all about moving forward and doing that.
Continuation.
Exactly. And it's keeping the eye on the prize, which is what you guys are doing. Now you guys are going to be going on a UK tour this summer, correct? With our good friends, Lillian Axe, who I'm a huge fan of. You got a UK Salt tour coming up. Steve Blaze, good friend of ours. I'm a huge Axe fan. So that's got to be really positive for you guys to be able to point to that. You have that, which you can check out the dates on the website. What else might you have planned in kind of a perfect world for 2022? What do you have some more dates in mind, things like that?
Yeah, there's more dates in the works, actually. We might be going to Spain. a few other countries. It's all in the works. It's all happening right now as we speak. So, you know, the tour dates with Lillian X just came about a few weeks ago or so. And these more dates in Spain. I'm sure we'll do some stuff in the States too. You know, with the album hitting, let's see, April 1st in Europe, April 15th here in the States. I think it's just going to, the ball's going to start rolling. And just, I would say just to everybody, check out riotactband.com. We'll keep you posted on everything that's going on with the band. And you let everybody know, right?
That's what we're here for, Rick. That's what we're here for. Yes, indeed, you, sir. We got your back. Was there ever a point during this that, you know, whether it be Lou's passing or just the COVID in general and so many bands and tours gone? And I mean, my life changed a lot. I'm on the road, hitting 50 shows a year, doing interviews, and that's kind of my life. And it changed drastically. But for you guys, was there ever a point where you thought, this just isn't going to take off? This isn't going to work? And was there ever a point where you had to really, really rise out of lethargy to make this happen?
Yeah, I was going, there were a lot of ups and downs. A lot of ups and downs in the past 2 years, sure. You went through it. Everybody in the world went through it, just recording, everything was difficult. I never experienced anything like this, I do my demos at home, then show them to the band, then we'd meet up and, keep our distance. And it was just so unusual. It's like a bizarro universe I was in for the last 2 years, and everybody was in.
That is exactly it. So yeah, you're a Brooklyn guy. You're from Brooklyn, New York, Rick.
Right.
Growing up, what are you listening to? What was kind of your lot in life is it when it comes to music? What kind of bands were you listening to? What was kind of some of your first albums you bought that kind of set you on this path? Because your guitar style, it's very distinct and it's very hard driving and it's very crunchy and it's very, it's very Hendrix-y. It's very early, it's Yardbirds. It's 60s style. It's garage rock, all that stuff. Okay. Oh, well, I guess I answered my own question.
You hit it on the head.
Wow.
Yes, much. Yeah. I grew up, during the time we're all the greats, so
yeah,
I just absorbed all those different styles, I guess, when I was really, really young, probably the Beatles, first of all, probably the first, I think my first record was Rubber Soul, the first record I ever bought when I was a little toddler. And then I drifted immediately into heavy music, you mentioned Hendrix and bands like Cream, and then Deep Purple and Led Zeppelin, Sabbath, that whole period was just, there was so many just amazing bands and amazing guitar players. So, I had the luxury of listening to all these amazing players, it was probably the greatest period in hard rock music,
I completely agree, which is why I do this show and I talk to people like you. I'm 38 years old, man. I get what I get now. I got to see so many bands, thank goodness. And we've lost so many members in the last 5 years, but to be able to at least, the music is kept alive by bands like yours, by bands like Riot Act that still are able to wave that flag. Because for me, I didn't get to see Kiss on the Love Gun tour. I got to see Kiss on the reunion tour, at least, farewell. You know what I'm saying? So like, this is, I'm playing catch up when I can.
Interesting.
It's my age. I was born in 1984. So I missed a lot of the things in their, bands, as they're coming up, but trying to make it up for that now. And we've lost so many. I remember I have some kind of a weird curse. I was in LA when Lemmy died. I was there at the Rainbow, like the day before he died. I was at AC/DC's last show with Brian Johnson to date in Kansas City. I was at Twisted Sister's last show in Sioux Falls, South Dakota. I was at Motley Crue's last concert in LA. Of course, that's going to be rectified this the summer, but you know, that's just kind of the right. Your heroes don't last forever. It's a sobering thought.
Sure.
And you guys have experienced that maybe more than any band. People within the Riot camp, it has been very rough and kind of, like you said, almost a curse.
Yeah, you know, we lost Guy, Rhett, Mark, and Lou.
Unreal.
It's unreal. But getting back to the music, I mean, there's just so much music. Like you're saying, playing catch up. I mean, you've got so much. There's so much to catch up on. It's just unbelievable. The history of, and you know, the fans of this music, they're hardcore fans, and I think those fans, they're with you for life. Heavy metal fans. You know,
100%.
It's almost like, I view it's like country music. You know, country music fans, the stars have those fans for life. And I view it the same way. I mean, you look at fans of Ozzy, Lemmy, and all these guys, you know, they're just like devoted forever.
It's in your blood.
That's just fascinating about this music, you know?
And it's ageless and it's in your blood. So, I mean, it's almost right. Like I was born into it. I'll never forget, Rick, seeing my uncle's Kiss Destroyer record in my grandparents' basement. I had no idea what it was, but I knew whatever that is, like, I like that. You know, I want that in my life.
Right.
Kind of life-changing. Right. You know, we all have those moments, but glad to.
Sure.
Yeah, it's so exciting. Well, Rick, I tell you what, we're kind of running short on time here. I want everybody to make sure you go to riotactband.com. That's where you can get all the information, all the tour dates that are going to be coming out. The album itself, you can pre-order it right now. It comes out in Europe on April 1st, April 15th here, but it's Closer to the Flame. It is so tremendous right now. I'm just getting ready to let you know. It's got to be my album of 2020. I know 2022 is kind of young, but it's right. My album of the year so far, sir. So at least
thank you, man. Thank you.
Solace in that. Can't thank you enough for joining us, Rick. It's been such an honor. Keep fighting the good fight. I hope to see you guys out here in America sometime in the near future, my friend.
Yeah, same here, man. It was a pleasure.